with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are in tune to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches on FM 94.7.
Repentance follows faith. That's a bit of the wisdom that we'll hear today on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee. I'm Steve Schwetz, inviting you aboard the Bible bus for our final study in the Old Testament book of Ezra. Tomorrow we'll set off on a new adventure through Nehemiah. So as you grab your Bible and turn to Ezra chapter 10, let's welcome Through the Bible's President Greg Harris into the studio.
Thanks for having me, Steve. It's always good to be here.
And Greg, when you're here, oftentimes we like to talk about our core values.
Yeah.
And we focus on different aspects because we got a lot of different core values. But let's focus a little bit more on some of the human networks that we do.
Well, and I love to say that human networks, which is just a phrase we've coined to say that God does his work through people. I think he figured that out before we did.
Yes, we just put a name on it.
Yeah, we put a name on it. But what we mean is, even though we like to talk about radio towers and satellite TV and home groups and players, the real power of this ministry, obviously the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, but it's flowing through human networks. And those human networks are as I don't even want to say small, as minute or as granular as an individual going to their neighbor and saying, would you like to listen to Through the Bible? That's God at work. Or maybe it's 20,000 home groups in South Asia.
Yep.
But we really celebrate that, and we love to hear about the power of word of mouth. Steve, why don't you read this letter from Texas?
And here's one from Marlene in Brownsville, Texas. I never would have imagined writing a letter like this. I am new to the family of God, just 1 year old. I lived over 70 years without him, and I'm writing to tell you that many people listening to your program may not know him yet, so you need to keep telling them about Jesus. Well, amen, Marlene,
amen
to that. That was me. My neighbor Raquel invited me on the Bible bus over 10 years ago, and I waved it off as not for me. Then she started listening to Dr. McGee while she weeded her garden, which just happened to be next to our fence line. And she turned it up so I could hear, too, as I sat on my patio when she was gardening. I usually found my way to my patio most every day. And of course, as things go, when my family hit some hard times, I listened all the more, and eventually I bowed my heart to receive the Lord Jesus' gift that's more and so much more than I ever knew. When the Lord is divvying out rewards in heaven, I know my neighbor Raquel will get some. She was so welcoming, so unashamed of the gospel, and confident that what she was telling me about is something for my good. I've been on the Bible bus for a while now, but I'm new to the family. Thank you for taking me places. I now have spiritual eyes to see.
Wow, that is such an awesome story. And thank you, Marlene, for telling us your story. And thank you, Raquel, for sharing. And those of you, we know a lot of people are hearing our voices over the radio, over digital podcasts, etc. Just think about how you can be used of God like that. And for someone at that stage of life to be willing to hear the gospel and respond and for God to save her, man, that's what we live for here at Through the Bible.
Yeah, also the faithfulness of Raquel. I mean, I can think of a lot of other stories, like the guy in India that, you know, raises a loudspeaker at 5 o'clock in the morning outside his house by a bus stop and starts blasting through the Bible in the morning. But I've never heard of someone in the U.S. really doing the same thing on a much smaller scale through a fence line.
Yep. That is a first. Okay, we have time to hear from Mark from New Brunswick, Canada. There's a bunch of guys at my office that meet together at lunch and talk about what they're learning on Through the Bible, and then they pray for whatever it is you guys talk about.
That's a small group, by the way.
That's a home group, or a work home group. Yeah, okay. He goes on, I joined them for a couple of lunches, but I couldn't join in because I had no idea what they were so excited about. Okay, there it is, Steve, the turning point. Then I downloaded the app and started to listen for myself. Little by little, I understood. I think I was a Christian before, but this constant exposure to the Bible has awakened something in me. I am writing to ask for a handful of those Bible bus passes. I want to invite others to join the party, too. Oh, and now I've got something to share at lunch. Thanks. That is awesome.
That is great. And hopefully you can use those 10 packs. And if you want to be handing out those Bible bus passes to your friends and family, and I keep some in my wallet right next to my business cards and hand them out when I get a chance. So they're really convenient. They got a little QR code on the back, and you can quickly download the app when you have that QR code in your hand.
Yeah, we are really excited when people are sharing how they're using the Bible bus passes. We have one that'll point you to the Bible bus. We have one that'll point you to the gospel. Mm-hmm. So there's listen for the Bible bus. There's share for the gospel. And then if you want to access all of Dr. McGee's 100 plus booklets, that would be the other Bible pass for read. So lots and lots of opportunities to share.
Greg, why don't you pray for us as we begin our study?
Father, we thank you that you have worked through people always, and that will always be your chosen method. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is working through the lives of listeners of Through the Bible to reach other people with the gospel. We pray that our listening family would be emboldened to share joyfully this great news that we have in Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Now let's jump into our study of Ezra 10 on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now last time in chapter 9, we saw this great prayer of Ezra and of those that were with him, those that trembled at the Word of God. You see, the Word of God has been back of all great spiritual movements. Has to be. There can be no spiritual movement without the Word of God. And when Ezra had arrived in that land, word was brought to him of the low spiritual ebb of the people. And as a result, he went before God in prayer. For some time, the man was in shock. He couldn't even actually move. He was so humiliated. And then those that felt as he did joined with him in a great prayer meeting. And then we saw that great prayer. And then there began this movement of revival. And revival always leads to reformation. The problem in our day has been that we have a great revival in our church. And actually, when you examine it, it wasn't revival at all, because a few people got saved, and that was great. But the point is that there was no reviving of the church. The church today as a whole is in a very low spiritual ebb, and for that reason there should be a great deal of prayer today on the part of God's people. Not just saying prayer, but laying hold of God in prayer. Now, there were some results of this revival, and that leads to reformation. And you don't need a fingerprint expert to find out what the results were. We find here now in chapter 10 at verse 1, and I'm reading. We read here, "Now when Ezra had prayed, and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept sore." Now, there is a great conviction of sin that comes over God's people at this particular time, and it certainly was something that was needed. Now, will you notice what happened? "And Shechaniah, the son of Jehiel, one of the sons of Elam, answered and said unto Ezra, We have trespassed against our God, and have taken strange wives of the people of the land. Yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing." Now, this man, Shechaniah, he became the mouthpiece here of, I think, a group of people that recognized their sin and wanted to confess. And they come to Ezra, and they make this confession. They say, "We've trespassed against our God." Now, that's his very candid acknowledgement. And he says, "We've taken strange wives of the people of the land." And that, my friend, is nailing it down, dealing with specifics. And all of this was absolutely contrary to the law of Moses. It was breaking the law. And they had not consulted in this grave matter that which was written. In other words, they had departed from the Word of God. And this man now, though, casts himself upon the mercy of God. He says, yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing. And the thing that follows here, will you notice? He says, now therefore let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives and such as are born of them, according to the counsel of my Lord, and of those that tremble at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law. Now there were those that joined now in confession, and they likewise trembled at the commandment of God. That is, they just didn't read it, or just study it. The Word of God had its way in their hearts. When that was called to their attention, a transgression, they confessed it. They didn't attempt to rationalize or excuse it or cover it over, and they just came out and confessed it. And they did this according to the Word of God. Now he goes on, verse 4, arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. Then arose Ezra and made the chief priests, the Levites, and all Israel to swear that they should do according to this word, and they swear. And Ezra rose up from before the house of God and went into the chamber of Johanan, the son of Eliashib. And when he came thither, he did eat no bread nor drink water, for he mourned because of the transgression of them that had been carried away. Now this was a very serious thing in breaking the law of God. And they go before him with great travail of soul. Ezra now goes into the very presence of God, and this is something that's very drastic. It's rather heart-rending, this thing they went through. But the Word of God has been transgressed, and the repentance came to God's people here. Now, friends, that's where revival must begin, first walking in the light of the Word of God. And when we come to the Word of God and it brings conviction to our hearts, we see we are coming short of the glory of God, or we are openly transgressing that which God has written, then we go to Him in confession. Then there is real repentance, and as a result, why, the children of God are revived. We today have been so busy preaching repentance to the lost world outside. Very candidly, I'm not sure that God's asking or saying to the lost world there to repent. To the lost world, it's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And when you come to Christ as Savior, something else happens. It happened in Thessalonica. Paul says, how ye turn to God from idols. Now the coming to God took priority over turning from idols. Repentance does not precede faith. Faith goes before, and repentance follows. Follows as the night follows the day. It just has to follow. If it doesn't follow, then there wasn't anything pulling it up in front. There was no real saving faith at all. And therefore, the thing that's important today is this thing that's so lacking in the church is repentance. Have you ever noticed that in the Bible, God asks the church to repent? In the seven letters to the seven churches of Asia Minor, he said to every one of them, repent, lest you repent. Now he's talking to believers. He's not talking to unsaved people, apparently. He's talking to those that are saved. And today we're telling the lost world. Now, probably those of you that listen to me recognize I have a few hang-ups. Well, I want to tell you about another one I got. I detour every now and then, get off on these, but I feel they're important. Now, I personally do not agree with these people who are constantly saying to the mayor or to the governor or to the president, let's have a national day of prayer. We need prayer. Oh, my friend, what are you talking about? I can't believe that Ezra sent out word to that crowd that were round about them of the Hittites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Amorites, and the Egyptians. He didn't send out a petition to all of them. Let's have a great day of prayer. You don't ask the heathen to pray and repent. My friend, America today is a pagan nation. Let's face it, believers are a minority. This is a day when every minority is being heard except the Bible believers, and they're not being heard today. That's an interesting thing about our minority. And it's the reason that I think I could get up a rally of thousands of people in Southern California to call a great national day of prayer. I don't think it'd be any problem. Well, what good would it do? God is saying to his church, repent. He's saying to his church, you come back to me. Come back out of your coldness and your indifference. The thing is that what we need today is a revival. And a revival will not come without repentance. And until there is repentance in the church. And that's among believers. The very interesting thing is that these people here are no longer indifferent, you see. We've got indifference in the church today. Lyman Abbott made this statement years ago. He says, when a boy, I heard my father say that if by some miracle God would change every cold, indifferent Christian into 10 blatant infidels, the church might well celebrate a day of thanksgiving and praise. Trouble with the church today, it's filled with cold, indifferent church members. I don't even know whether they're saved or not. And if revival had come, friends, I tell you, you're going to see this crowd that indifferent, they're either going to come over on the Lord's side, or else they're going to make it very clear they belong to the devil. This is tremendous, this section here, you see. Now we find out this man, Ezra, he went to God in genuine repentance. Now, verse 7, and they made proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem unto all the children of the captivity that they should gather themselves together unto Jerusalem, and that whosoever would not come within 3 days according to the counsel of the princes and the elders, all his substance should be forfeited and himself separated from the congregation of those that had been carried away. Now they're making a real line of separation. Now they're under law. I don't think that in the church today you could force this at all. But you see what they're doing, they're getting out all of the chaff that they possibly can from the good wheat here. And it'll take about 3 days to come from any section in that land. And this is directed to these that have come out of Babylonian captivity because they've come to rebuild the city of Jerusalem and the temple. They are to come together, and they're to come together for a great time of spiritual refreshing, but repentance must precede it. And they're to come together, and if there are those that won't come, that hold something in their heart, they say they're not doing it my way, or they have some other objection, then they're to be put outside. Now, the church needs house cleaning today. And I don't mean taking out the dead wood of the members that can't locate. What the average church needs to get rid of are some of the members they can locate. They're the ones that they need to deal with. And if today real revival had come into the church, all this bitterness that you find even in our fundamental churches, now don't tell me they're not there. I was quite interested in several letters I received of what I said some time ago about the condition of fundamentalism. There are a great many people thought I should have kept quiet about it. They said you shouldn't have brought that out in the open. I believe when you got cancer, telling people about it, friends, and when it's a spiritual cancer, knowing that the very life of the church, I think somebody ought to call attention to it and bring the old skeleton out of the closet. Let's get rid of it. That's the important thing. And I make no apology for doing that at all. Then there were several folk thought that their church was all right. The interesting thing, I happen to know a couple of the churches that were mentioned to me, and I know the pastor. The pastor has a different viewpoint than you have. I can assure you that. You see, bitterness to today is like quinine in a barrel of water. Doesn't take much of it. And I remember that when I was a boy, my mother would always tell me when I'd cut up a chicken, you don't break the gallbladder. You ruin the whole chicken if you do. You could have spoiled the entire fowl. And God wants to get rid of that. He says, for instance, Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And the Lord said, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Just a few complainers and critics in the church can absolutely stifle any spiritual movement in the church. How many lives have been wrecked by bitterness? And we don't have time to develop that today. Now, we're told, then all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered themselves together unto Jerusalem within 3 days, was the 9th month. And verse 10, and Ezra the priest stood up and said unto them, you've transgressed, taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. Now, therefore, make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers, do his pleasure and separate yourselves from the people of the land from the strange wives. And all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, as thou hast said, so must we do. In other words, not being a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word also. Repentance that leads to action. And we're hearing a great deal today about action groups in the church. What they mean are witnessing. What the church needs to do is to get cleaned up. This confession needs to be done. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. Now you find here that this is going to be a bitter pill, but they did all the things that had been asked of them. And these people come together in confession. And when they do, there was, I'm confident, the great wrenching of the heart, and there was great agony of soul as these people did this thing. And I think something here that's quite interesting, that when they gathered together, why, there was quite a rainstorm that apparently came up, and they appointed a certain time. But the people are many, verse 13, and it's a time of much rain, and we're not able to stand without. Neither is this work of one day. Now, they're not going to do it in a slipshod manner. Rainstorm came up. Everybody wanted to scatter. And this man Ezra's got a whole lot of sand. And he says, well, we don't want to stand out here in all this rain and with women and children. And what we want to do is to come back another day and to do this thing right. And now our rulers of all the congregation stand and let them which have taken strange wives, let this thing be handled in an orderly way. This is a great thing, by the way, and this is the thing they did. And they all, we're told here, verse 19, they gave their hands that they would put away their wives, and being guilty, they offered a ram of the flock for their trespass. Now, will you notice, verse 44, the last verse, all these had taken strange wives, and some of them had wives by whom they had children. And that tells you a pretty sad story, does it not? The sins that have to be visited on the children. And then another thing, that this offering is an offering that speaks of the fact that the people are united together now as one. I can't call it fellowship. I think fellowship is something that the Spirit of God brought to believers on the day of Pentecost. You don't see too much of it today, but there are many places where there's wonderful fellowship. I go into many churches, and there are certain churches I go in, I just look forward to it. There are wonderful folk there. You have wonderful fellowship in the things of God. And there are some few churches not quite like that, but there are so many wonderful churches, wonderful people today you can have fellowship. Now, only the Spirit of God can make that. Here, you have a time of the people coming together, united, in this tremendous effort that is made. That brings us to the end of the book of Ezra. Next time, we're going to be in the book of Nehemiah. Oh, this is a great book we're coming to now. And there's a lot of fun in the book of Nehemiah. I hope you find fun in the Bible. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Well, that's a great introduction to our study in Nehemiah that begins next time. So why don't you hop aboard the Bible bus and come along with us? Until then, you can find out more about the great Bible study tools that we offer, including our digital book, Briefing the Bible. In that, it contains all of Dr. McGee's notes and outlines for Nehemiah and the whole Bible. Just go to ttb.org to get yours. Or you can call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE or email biblebus@ttb.org. Well, I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll meet you back here next time as together we make our way through the Bible.
Jesus made it home, unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Through the Bible exists to take God's whole word to the whole world. And we invite you to stand with us with your faithful prayer and financial support. Where will God's word go today?
God is doing a new thing in my life. God is doing a new thing
in my life.
God is doing a new thing. To let the whole world know, hey, God's doing a new thing
in my life.
God doing a new thing
in my life.
God is doing a new thing
in my life.
Stepping out
of faith,
moving
out of God's way, prepare myself for a change,
getting ready for
new things.
Listening to WWBC Cocoa, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Cocoa, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco 99.9 FM.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is worthy of all honor and praise. I am Minister Gloria Ross, and I thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. We are located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church telephone number is 321-255-6999. On Wednesday night, we have prayer and Bible study, and that's at 7:30 p.m. And the telephone number where you can come on is 732-434-2231. I repeat the number again, 732-434-2231. Church service time starts at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday. Now stay tuned to the broadcast.
Well, praise the Lord. We give honor and praise unto our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one in whom I am a servant. I give him all praise and honor and glory, and I thank him for this wonderful, glorious day to allow us to be here on this platform here, that we're able to speak the truth of God's word. We give him all praise and honor. And I want to pray this morning for my faith partners and radio listeners out there in Radio Land. Praise God. Father, we thank you once again in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one that has done all things for us, that have brought everything into sight where we are able to realize what he has done for us on the cross of Calvary. We take no credit for anything, but we thank him for everything that he has done. He shed his precious blood there to redeem mankind back to the Father. So we thank you and praise you right now for Jesus, the only one that is able to do all things. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We want to get into the epistle of Ephesians, praise God. And we want to look at the prayer that Apostle Paul was praying to and for the church of Ephesus, praise God. It's a very, very powerful prayer. And I strongly believe that if we, as born-again believers, to pray that prayer, because it was done by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The power of the Holy Ghost. That is a powerful prayer. And we also want to just thank the Lord for the lost out there in Radio Land that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, that they can come to him as well. And this prayer would be important for us all, because we keep in mind that the Lord Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world, not just for the Christians. In 1 John 2 and verse 2, it says that he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sin of the whole world. So the Lord Jesus Christ died for all humanity, and we must understand and believe that the work that he's done, it's a finished work. Praise God. So we want to look into this epistle here this morning and give the Lord Jesus Christ all the praise, because through the anointing of Apostle Paul that he received from the Lord Jesus Christ is able to give us this revelation. Praise God. So, Minister Gloria, would you start out in the 16th
Ephesians 1 and 16.
Amen.
Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers.
Now, that is very powerful, for he ceases not to give thanks of making mention of them in his prayers. Now, I want to tell you today that when we look at this word here, it's all powerful, because he is saying that he's praying for the church. Praise God. He's praying for those that are in that body. And not only in that body, but he's praying for the saints as well. And we should be praying for one another as well as children of God. Praise the Lord. And it says, but the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father of glory, that he would give, that he may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. This is powerful here, because this prayer is reaching the throne of God. And he's saying that the Father will give unto you the spirit of wisdom. We all need wisdom, praise God. Not just here and there, but we need the wisdom of God at all times. And the Bible tells us that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it out liberally and upbraideth not, and he will give it to him. So the whole important thing is that Apostle Paul is praying for this body, praise the Lord, that God will give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We need wisdom. We need revelation. First of all, we need the wisdom of God to know what God wants done, and the revelation of the Word of God, so we know how to apply the Word that we have, praise God, that we receive from the Lord Jesus Christ through this epistle. So, Minister Glory, you know, it's important that when we look at what is going on here, that he's praying. And we should be praying for the body of Christ.
Amen.
As well.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Not just our own little area that we have that the Lord is blessing us with, but we should pray for the body of Christ, the entire body of Christ. Praise God. But Apostle Paul is praying here for the body, this church of Ephesus here. And he's praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge in him.
Amen. In him.
In him. Praise God. So whatever is revealed has to be done through and by the power of the Holy Spirit. You want to, yeah.
It says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling.
Praise God.
And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints.
Praise God. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. That is very powerful.
Yes.
Can you imagine for a moment? Listen to what he's saying. What is the greatness of his power to us who believe? If you're a believer, praise God, the power of God operating in your life as a child of God. What is the greatness, the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? Good God Almighty, the greatness of his power, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? Oh, I tell you, the mighty power of God. Praise God. I tell you, when you get filled with the Spirit of the living God, the mighty power of God can operate in your life, my life, and all who believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Minister Glory, the exceeding greatness of his power, not our power.
No.
But of his power.
Yes.
Toward us who believe. We are believers. That's why whatever is going on in the life of a believer, no matter what roadblock that has been placed in your life, there's mighty power.
Amen.
And that power is of God. I remember reading there, I think in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7, where it talks about the treasure are in earthen vessels. And the excellency of the power is not of us, but it's of God.
Amen.
And when we realize that the power that we demonstrate is not our power, it's his power, we are just vessels.
Yes.
You want to read that?
It says, but we have this treasure.
Yes.
In earthen vessels.
Thank you, Jesus.
That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us.
That is powerful. And we have to recognize and realize that the power is of God. And this is what Paul is praying for. He's saying that what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us that believe. This is why whatever circumstances or problems that you or any of us that are born again may be experiencing or being challenged with, we have the power of God operating in our lives. Mr. Corey, there's another verse of scripture here I wanted to kind of like plug into this as we are talking. Although we know that Apostle Paul, this is a prayer. He's praying for the church of Ephesus. But I want you to read in Romans 8 and verse 11. Praise God. That is another, because we want to look at this power.
Mm-hmm.
This power that we have. And it's done by the Spirit of the living God. This is why Apostle Paul says that he may give unto you wisdom and revelation and knowledge in him. So when we have the revelation of who he is, and we have the knowledge of who he is, and the wisdom that is in, then we are able to apply these factors to whatever given situation that develops in our lives. Praise God. So you want to read.
Yes, but if the Spirit of him,
yes,
that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you.
See, we as believers have this might and this power, and it's not of us, it's of God. And every time we realize this power that is being resonated on the inside of us, he's on the inside, praise God, and we are able to demonstrate this power. And this is another thing, and thank you, Holy Ghost, because Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the church of Corinth, yeah, he said that I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. Praise God. We must accept, realize that the power is not of us. It's of God.
Amen.
And I tell you, when we look at the scripture there, and it tells us that this power is of God.
It's of God.
And not of us.
Amen.
So we can't go around bragging and talking about what power we have. We're just earthen vessels. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And this power is of God and not of us. Let's go continue with the, unless you have something you want to add to that concerning. But we keep in mind that this is a prayer. This is prayer. It's a Holy Ghost prayer. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Mm-hmm. And I strongly believe that if you, as a child of God, would be led to pray this prayer, it would be honored because it's done by the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Amen. Done by the Spirit of the living God. You want to continue to read, Minister?
Ephesians?
Yes.
Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and sat him on his own right hand in the heavenly places.
Now, we're talking about power, the power of God. When he raised up Jesus,
mm-hmm,
from the dead. Glory to God. What kind of power are we talking about that's being demonstrated?
Mm-hmm.
And Apostle Paul is telling us.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. And we should keep in mind that we have this power on the inside of us. Praise God. Because when he spoke to the church of Rome there, he told them, he said, well, if the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Praise God. By the same Spirit, we have earth-shaking, mountain-moving power that's on the inside of us,
mm-hmm,
as a child of God. This is why we look at situations and we don't cow down to it. We speak against it. And it's not because the outer man is talking. It's because of the Spirit that's on the inside of us, which is all might and power. Mr. Gordon, you remember reading there in the sixth chapter of Ephesians there, where it says that be strong in the Lord.
Yes, in the power of his might.
Lord, you want to read that?
It says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Amen.
put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
This might and this power is of God, and we must realize where this power comes from and who this power belongs to. We don't have this power. It's not by might.
No.
As Zechariah said, it's not by might. It's not by human power, but it's by the Spirit of the living God.
Amen.
And when this Spirit, praise God, is on the inside of you, I want to tell you, glory to God, that it's earth-shaking, demon-chasing, and mountain-moving. And what happened is that we pray for folks that are in whatever predicament that it may be, and we realize that this power is of God, and God's work is being done. Praise God. Now, all of this is, I'm bringing it into clarity here so that we are talking about a prayer, praise God, that Apostle Paul was praying for the Church of Ephesus. But you can pray this prayer as well, praise God, because I need wisdom, not only on Sunday, I need wisdom every day, praise God, and I need revelation every day. And these qualities or these components or whatever it is that I attach itself to, it only comes by the Spirit of the living God. And this is what he was saying, that in the outset there, he was saying that that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory, that he may give unto you, praise God, and give unto me the Spirit. See, it's the Spirit. It's done by the Spirit. The Spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge. Praise God. You see, a lot of people have knowledge, but they don't know how to apply the knowledge.
True.
You see, so we need the revelation by the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. So we're able to do it. Now, Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father.
Yes.
Praise God. And where is he now? He's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. Ooh, I tell you, every time I read this, I say to myself, I said, wow, what power that is in operation, praise God. And it can be operating in all of our lives if we are born again, if we are trusting the Lord Jesus Christ and realizing that we are only earthen vessels. And this power resonates on the inside of us that are born again. Praise God. You know, and this is it's an excellent power. Praise God. And it's the power of God.
Yes.
Praise God. It's the power of God. I understand why when Jesus told his disciples there in Acts 1 and verse 8, yeah, you don't have to turn there, but we can talk about this, that he told them, don't go anywhere and Don't do anything. Just stay here in Jerusalem here until you receive the promise of the Father. There are a lot of people today that they don't have the promise of the Father. They talk about the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father is the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's in all of our lives. Praise God. He told them, he says here that, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you, and you shall be a witness unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Let me tell you something. There is nothing that we can do without the power of God that's going to please God. This power has to be demonstrated. Too many people today are talking about this power and not demonstrating the power of God. And I said demonstrating the power of God is that it's done by him. Mm-hmm. You're just the vessel that he's using. This is why we cannot brag about what we have. We only humble ourselves and allow the Spirit of God to be demonstrated in our lives as children of God. This is why folks, when they see you, they want to see Christ in you. Praise God. They want to see the power, the demonstration of that power. We can't keep talking about something. We have to demonstrate it. And the only way it's done is by the Spirit of the living God.
Praise God.
Ms. Girl, you have something else you want to say, or we want to get back to this prayer? Because, you know, the Bible tells us line upon line and precepts upon precept, here a little and there a little. So we can't incorporating all of this into this prayer. Praise God. To just read the prayer is a wonderful thing because we can go through it. But in the meantime, it's that there are a lot of other things that can also be added or spoken about concerning this power. This is why none of us can have a braggadocious spirit in terms of saying what we are able to do. You can do nothing except Christ be demonstrated in your life with the Spirit of the living God. You Amen. Can do nothing. Amen. Jesus said you can't do nothing. Apart from him, you can do nothing. And we should not want to do anything except by the power of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives. But let's go on down a little further here, because Jesus is now sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. Mm-hmm. And we want to continue with this prayer, because Apostle Paul is giving us an understanding of this prayer that he's praying.
It says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion,
yes,
and every name,
yes,
that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come.
Praise God. And giving him a name.
Giving him a name.
Which is above every name.
Every name. And at that name,
praise God,
every knee is going to bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. You Hallelujah.
Know, praise God. You know, we have this, we have the right to use his name.
Mm-hmm.
And Apostle Paul is saying all of this in this prayer here. Can you imagine when folks begin to hear what's being said here and understand that this prayer is a powerful prayer,
mm-hmm,
because he's praying that they would receive, mm-hmm, something. It's not like Paul is saying that he's trying to exalt himself. Yeah, that's not what he's doing.
No.
What he's showing us, at least what I see through the eyes of the Spirit in terms of what he's doing, he's praying for the church. Praise God. And we all should be praying for the church, the body of Christ. And he's praying for this particular church here because it's powerful there,
mm-hmm,
what he's saying. Because he's given us all kinds of understanding in terms of what God the Father would give unto us that are born again, that are saved. He's not talking about sinners, he's talking about church folks. So he says that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the living God,
mm-hmm,
praise God, and Jesus was raised from the dead,
yes,
by the power of God.
Amen.
And he's now sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God,
mm-hmm,
and has been given a name which is above every name.
Every name.
That's why it talks about it. And that name, not only in heaven, but also in earth. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go a little further with that in terms of that name.
And had put all things under his feet.
Praise God.
And gave him to be head over all things to the church.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. This is good spiritual insight. Mm-hmm. This is revelation that we all should accept through this prayer. Because Jesus, he is the head of the church.
Amen.
Praise God. You find some fellowship, they may not think that he is, mm-hmm, but he is the head of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. And that's why a lot of times, before we start doing anything, we should check in with headquarters.
That's right.
If he's the head of the church, we should check in with what he wants done. Not a lot of times we have all these programs and things that are moving, and we kind of like keep the Spirit of the living God outside, and we do our own thing. And now when it comes to something that we need and we want to call on the name of the Lord, no, we need him in every area of our lives, and whatever it is that we're doing,
mm-hmm,
we are giving the Lord Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm,
all of the praise, the honor, and the glory. Praise God.
Amen.
And dare not try to take any credit for anything.
That's right.
Because when you try to take credit for something,
mm-hmm,
you're in the flesh, the raw flesh, because the flesh doesn't profit anything, and it's only man's ideas when he tries to take credit for something. This thing is all about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
Amen. Mm-hmm. This prayer, if we go back to the beginning of it and look at what was happening, you see, the prayer was that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you. He's talking about what this. This is what he's saying.
Yep.
May give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We need this.
Yes, we do.
Praise God. We can't brag about anything that we're doing. It's only done by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I pray today that what we have not exhausted anything by any means in terms of this passage, because Apostle Paul, through the revelation by the power of the Holy Spirit, was praying for the church. He said, I cease not to give thanks in my prayers. So he's praying for it. And I pray God that he prays for us as well. Praise the Lord. Well, we thank the Lord for this wonderful opportunity just to come into your homes and nursing homes and prison cells, wherever you are that have tuned into the broadcast. And we dare not close out this broadcast without extending an invitation, not to the brothers and sisters that are born again, but those that may have tuned in to this broadcast.
Amen.
That they too can have the Spirit of the living God. So, Minister Louie, would you just...
Remember, faith come by hearing, and hearing the word of God. In Romans 10:9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Praise God. And I want to just say something out here to all that are tuning into the broadcast, that you don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. All you need to do is to give your heart to Jesus, and he'll do the rest. God bless you all until the next broadcast.
You have been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.
You know, I was sitting in the house on the other day with my mama. We were sitting there watching the news, and they were talking about how they searched for a missing 8-year-old girl. Well, after hours had passed, they were walking through a condemned field, and they saw a garbage full of concrete and old debris. Out of that garbage there was a little child's hand, and as he called that little girl's name, they noticed movement in that hand. Well, at that time they were rejoiced and was astonished.